Tom 8, Canto, Chapter 23, the demigods regain the heavenly planets. Text 30 and 31. Text 30. If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system, or even brought back home, back to Godhead. Text 31. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitraloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. Purport. There are three kinds of ceremonies, specifically ceremonies to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the demigods, those performed for social celebrations like marriages and birthdays, and those meant to please the forefathers like the Shraddha ceremony. In all these ceremonies, large amounts of money are spent for various activities, but here it is suggested that if along with this there is recitation of the wonderful activities of Vamanadeva, certainly the ceremony will be carried out successfully and will be free of all discrepancies. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 23rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets. Om Gana Chirmanandasya Gananjana Shakaya Chakshun Militanyena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Purittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Shukadeva Goswami is ending this narration with a benediction. The history of Bali Maharaj has taken a few chapters, maybe 4 or 5 chapters. And now, as is fitting and proper in civilized circles, and especially spiritual circles, there is the benediction. All those who have heard this, they will in some way accrue merit. That is the nature of a real human society. Whatever human beings do is meant to accrue merit, to go forward, not to go backwards. In a real government, there is encouragement so that the people are stimulated to go forward. Now, you can go forward in one of two ways in the Vedic plan for society. You can take the slow train or you can take the express train. But you must move forward because you have this valuable human form of life, which is a junction. If you use it properly, you advance. If you ignore the value of the human body, then you go backwards. Because the material world is a very dynamic place in terms of illusion, you can't sit tight and tread water. Trikunamayi, the modes of nature are always acting. So therefore, you're either dynamically moving forward or you're being dragged backwards. That is the nature of the system. Therefore, the Vedic plan for society is such that everyone, no matter whether they're slowies or they're very quick, they're given the facility to move forward. Now, those on the slow train, what do they want to do? They want to perform pious activities so that they will be happy in this world and be elevated to the higher planetary system. You become a demigod because you're a devotee, but you're attached to power and enjoyment. The Vedic plan has all the steps there for you to go to the heavenly planets. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami mentions it in text 30. If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he is certainly elevated to the higher planetary system, or even brought back home, back to Godhead. Now you may ask, why does he mention going to the higher planetary system? Shouldn't he just be preaching about going back home, back to Godhead. Well, this is the broad scope of the Vedic knowledge. It recognizes that although everyone should want to go back to Godhead immediately, especially in the age of Kali, no time to be sticking around, but still people are attached. So should you just give up on all the attached people? Say, get out of here. No. You also give them a plan so they can gradually elevate. You can be elevated to the higher planetary system. And if you're not overwhelmed by the sensual pleasures there, you may again be elevated higher in the universe. Otherwise, you fall back down to the middle planetary system when your pious activities are exhausted, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. Shine punye marchalokam prashanti. Up and down, up and down. The intelligent person is naturally interested in going all the way back home, back to Godhead. Especially in this age of Kali, when, you see, there's no social system for stimulating people to go forward. In fact, the social system and the so-called culture is bringing people down. And lifespans are very short. The situation in the world is always precarious, economically, politically. For example, people like to talk about how in the past 100 years there's been such an explosion of technological breakthroughs. So much. New gadgetry, information technology. Never before has science showered these things upon us at such a dizzy pace. But did you also know the facts about the 20th century? It was the most violent century in recorded human history. In fact, in just the 20th century alone, more people were killed in violent conflicts, wars, than in all the previous 19 centuries combined. So where is the progress? Yes, you can walk around with your iPods and your DVDs, and certainly we like to use these things in Krishna's service. But let us recognize what else is going on so that we know how to deal with people who think that they really are at the pinnacle of human achievement. No, what's going on is blindness. You can see all around the destruction. Not only destruction of other human beings, but also destruction of your own environment that you live in. How many of you, if you own a house, you'll act in such a way that your own house becomes destroyed? How many of you will do that? Of course not. Even if you're renting, you want to make sure that your flat is nice. Why is it that human beings live on this earth while destroying the earth, their own home? They can't see. Therefore, why should we be so proud that things are moving forward? No, things are not moving forward. There's the illusion that things are moving forward, when actually people are signing up for a very degraded position in the next life. They don't know it, but they're signing up. They're enrolling, just like you enroll in a university, a TAFE, whatever. Similarly, people are actually enrolling in a degraded birth in the next life. They're enrolling by their activities. So where is the progress? Who's going forward? In order to go forward, you have to partake in a system of either gradual elevation to the heavenly planets, or you go back home, back to Godhead. Now you have to decide what you want to do with your human form of life. What do you expect out of your life? You have to decide that. But if you give the power of attorney over your life to the three modes of material nature, what's going to become of you? Just take me wherever you like. Let material nature act on me. Does that sound very intelligent? I'm trusting in nature. I'm trusting in the universe. Your destination will be very inauspicious. You have to seize control of your life. Now, where do you get the techniques, the methodology for getting control of your life and steering it in the right direction? People have to be educated in these techniques. Otherwise, they may talk about being self-actuated and being self-empowered, but they're simply under the gun of material nature, with no idea how to get out of the grip of material nature. In fact, they claim to like being encased in material nature. Sukadeva Goswami is giving you a plan how to go forward. For the slow trained persons, you can try to go to the heavenly planets. Risky in Kali Yuga because there are so many discrepancies possible in your activities, and just one slip up can prevent you from going to the heavenly planets. Because the system of punya or pious activities is so complicated. Just like Maharaj Muniga found out. You read in the Bhagavatam, Krishna book. He gave so many cows away in charity to the Brahmins. Practically, you couldn't count the number of cows he gave in charity to the Brahmins. But one time, he unconsciously slipped up. He gave a cow to a Brahmana that he had already given to another Brahmana. Because he had so many cows, how could he keep track of them, you know? One out of thousands, hundreds, thousands of cows. But it happened, and so he was cursed. He had to suffer. This is the system of good karma and bad karma. It's too intricate to deal with in Kali Yuga. When there's danger at every step, illusion is so strong, you can't rely on that system of rituals, pious activities. The odds are stacked against you in Kali Yuga in terms of material elevation involving pious activities. But, as Sukadeva Goswami explains in the 12th canto, in this age of Kali, Kaleya Dosha Nidhe Raja, which is an ocean of faults, there is one good thing. Asti Heko Mahanguna, and only one good thing. No need to rack your brains trying to find something else that's good. It's not there. Asti Heko, there's certainly just one good thing. Kirtanadi Vakrishnasya Mukta Sangha Brahmaja. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you can obtain freedom from material existence. So let us first have an overview of the Vedic possibilities that are offered, and then have an understanding of what's happening now in Kali Yuga and why things are so stark and bleak. And then, as we listen to Sukadeva Goswami, we'll be properly able to appreciate his benedictions. In text 31, he says, whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony be performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitriloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes the three kinds of ceremonies. One, for pleasing the Supreme Lord of the demigods. Two, social events like marriages and birthdays. And three, pleasing the ancestors. A civilized society has all these ceremonies going on. These ceremonies are meant to convey meaning to the people, to stabilize society, to be a form of cohesion, because human beings are different than cats and dogs. Cats and dogs are taking birth, they're engaged in mating and having offspring. They're engaged in foraging for food and having some kind of shelter and defending themselves. But the cats and dogs don't have these rituals which are meant for bestowing significance upon human activities. And why bestow significance upon human activities? Because human activities should be performed in such a way that people can either make gradual or quick advancement in spiritual life. So everything in the Vedic plan has some kind of significance and value for moving forward, whether it's marriages or birthday celebrations. And there's a set of obligations that you are held to. Not that you partake of a certain ceremony, okay, marriage, and then you feel no obligation, you feel no responsibility. Everything has a point for either gradually moving forward or quickly moving forward. Even you want to move forward materially, the Vedic civilization can help you. You just want to go to heavenly planets? Okay, this is what you do. Of course, that's not recommended in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam recommends you go to Krishna. Still, the whole system is explained in this narration of Bali Maharaj surrendering the universe. You get to see how the whole universe, all the various planetary systems, all the peoples of the various planets are combining together to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Bhagavatam is making you aware of all the other peoples in the universe. How are you going to deny that? No, we don't believe it. What do you know? If you're going to be honest and you're doubting, all you can say is, I don't know. And Shukadeva Goswami is giving you the information. Those who are intelligent, they accept a qualified authority. Why do we listen to Shukadeva Goswami instead of listening to some mundane person? Because Shukadeva Goswami has qualification. And his teacher has qualification. And his teacher has qualification. Therefore, we are motivated to listen. And not only is there qualification, but we're also being presented from those qualified persons with a system for verifying what they say. This is why Krishna consciousness is so powerful. It's not just another belief system, another culture, another lifestyle possibility. It's not just some tradition your grandmother taught you in India, do some puja somehow. No. It is the science of maximum spiritual development. And it is the culture for how to live in this world in such a way that your spiritual possibilities are maximized. Therefore, there are so many rituals advised in Vedic culture. But the problem is, in Kali Yuga, when life is so short and agitated and disturbed, the holy name of Krishna takes precedence over everything. That's why you see in our contemporary Vaishnava culture, Krishna conscious culture, rituals are there, but they're not made into a big thing. That's because of Kali Yuga. The big thing is Asti Heko Mahan Guna. The only one good thing. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvija. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, all problems are solved. That's why, as devotees, we are always striving to take the chanting of the holy name seriously and more seriously. Our whole life can be characterized as a constant effort how to hear the holy name. It's very wonderful if you have anxiety. Oh, I'm not hearing my japa enough. My japa has not been good. Oh, what will become of me? That anxiety is a benediction from Krishna. That shows you care. You wouldn't feel that way if you didn't care. But if you care, you'll always be thinking, I just can't chant Hare Krishna well enough. That is the path demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya. Nam namakari bhavudan yijasarvasa. Tatrapita niyamata smaranena kala etadrisi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi dirdaivam idrisam ahani nanurada. No raga, no attraction for the holy name. So unfortunate. Durdaiva, certainly so unfortunate. Because although Krishna has made himself fully 100% available as his holy name, I'm so unfortunate, I have no attraction, no raga for that holy name. This is the inner emotional heart of a devotee. This constant spiritual lamentation. I can't chant Hare Krishna well enough. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, when will that day be mine when I will chant the holy name in ecstasy? This is the heart of a devotee. And how do you develop that heart? By every day making a concerted effort how to chant Hare Krishna with attention. And let's face it, we're never going to be satisfied that we've heard the holy name enough. It is an eternal activity. And Krishna is pleased by your effort. There's no question of hopelessness. Even your limited self, wouldn't you be pleased if someone was trying to constantly think how to be better and better at satisfying you? You'd be very attracted to that person. Similarly, when Krishna sees his devotees constantly trying to chant the holy name to improve their chanting, he becomes attracted to those devotees. All our life we're going to be hearing this point, if we are fortunate. If you are fortunate, you'll keep yourself in circumstances where you're always reminded about the need to hear the holy name. But you may notice, if you're in circumstances where you're not able to hear that constant encouragement to chant with attention, it's so easy to just let your chanting become stale and stagnant and even drop it while still believing in Krishna, of course. It's very easy. So, our Vaishnava culture is one, in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, is one for constant encouragement and reminding about the need to focus on the holy name of Krishna. We do that individually in terms of our japa, and we do it collectively in terms of kirtan. The chanting and dancing in the kirtan, as we explained Monday night, is part of the intoxication program for pure love of Krishna. The chanting and dancing is not ordinary. It is the flood of love of Krishna set loose by Lord Chaitanya. You participate in that flood of love of God by chanting and dancing. So we want to make sure that we are taking advantage of this prime process given by Lord Chaitanya. Chanting, dancing, and of course distributing the flood of love of Krishna to others. This is our program. And as you plunge into that program, as you plunge into that flood of love of Krishna, you indeed will feel true happiness. You'll stop looking to others' bodies as the source of your happiness. It's a very miserable thought when you think about it. Now just feel your own body. It's not very pleasing. On a hot day, it's uncomfortable. On a cold day, it's uncomfortable. When it's tired, it's uncomfortable. How many of you can actually say, you know, with in terms of the majority of your time, my body feels good. It's either hungry or it's thirsty, or it's the muscles are sore, or the joints, something. Even when you're young, it's like that. How many of you can truly say, my body feels ecstatic? It's great to have a body. Of course, if you look at the adverts in magazines or whatever, on television, you know, you think the body is the pure gateway to happiness. That's why we try, as devotees, we try to restrain ourselves from, you know, from being in contact with media propaganda. Not because, you know, we're some kind of a backwards cult. No, we fear for our consciousness. Because those that media stimuli is presenting, the body is a wonderful thing. Your body is going to be so happy. If you do these things, if you buy this product, your body will please you. You'll be pleased with it. This is conditioning. We have enough conditioning already to deal with from countless births. We don't need to add any more. So, just think about it. It's not that simply you have to wait until you're older for when the body reveals its real nature. Even when you're young. I remember when I was young, the body was just a very uncomfortable thing. As soon as you're 12 or 13, you know, all your peace is ruined by hormone changes. You can't look at the world anymore in the same way. Suddenly you're concerned, you know, with the opposite sex. And anxiety, how do I look? Am I looking at me? I can see it happening with children of devotees that I've known since they were, you know, infants. Now they're 12 or 13. And you see the, you know, the 12-year-old, you know, girls gathering together. And, does he like me? I think he likes you. These things go on. And the men become very self-conscious. How they look, how big their muscles are. Are they too skinny? Or do they have too much acne on their face? And your body actually feels uncomfortable, even as a teenager. That's why people take so much intoxication, to try to get over the uncomfortableness of having a body. And then the delusion further increases when we think, my body is missing something, but my body will feel complete in connection with another body. Your body will help my body to be happy. Madness when you think about it. On your own, your body is miserable. On my own, my body is miserable. But when two miserable bodies combine, presto, happiness! When you think about it, it's nuts, isn't it? And then to look at someone with the idea, you're going to make my body feel better. And happiness will be found in your body. That person himself or herself can find happiness in his or her own body, and you're going to find it? The other person's going to find it? It's madness when you think about it. But how do we resist this delusion? It is madness, as Lord Rishabhdev says in the fifth canto. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. You become mad, and you perform so many crazy activities. Vikarma. Activities you'll have to suffer for immensely later. Yad indriya pritya aprinoti. What is the symptom of the madness? Sense gratification becomes very dear to you. There's happiness in it. You see, you're like someone looking for gold, and you see a rich supply of gold. Yes, it's there. Happiness in the body. These delusions are so intense in Kali Yuga. And the normal Vedic rituals alone, marriage celebrations, birthday celebrations, Shraddha ceremonies for the ancestors, they cannot counteract this deep illusion. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami says, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Pramati. Only the chanting of Hare Krishna can wipe out the ills of Kali Yuga and establish you at Krishna's lotus feet. The complete program from beginning to end is there in the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So let us remember that. Our number one concern is how we are advancing in our chanting. You'll never be satisfied. You'll always be thinking, I can improve, I can improve. The more you think like that, the more you're actually becoming Krishna conscious. You're conscious of your connection to Krishna. Your mind will never be peaceful enough. You'll always be thinking, I have to concentrate more, I have to concentrate more. That constant effort is a sign that you're making spiritual advance. You care. You want to hear Krishna's name. Let us accept the benediction given by Shukadeva Goswami. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described, then whatever ceremony it happens should be understood to be extremely auspicious. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about the glories of Krishna, this is our mainstay. There may be rituals, but those rituals such as marriage and other milestone ceremonies of life, without the chanting of Hare Krishna, they are meaningless in the age of Kali. Let us always remember what is our mainstay. Let us not take the chanting of Hare Krishna in a ritualistic way, mechanical way. Please feel encouraged that if you put time into chanting, proper attention to chanting, day after day, year after year, you will get the results. This is a lifetime career, at least, chanting the holy name. And Rupa Goswami assures you in Nectar of Instruction, if every day you try to carefully chant the holy names, your natural taste will awaken. Then you know your disease of material life is starting to diminish when the natural taste for chanting Krishna's name and glories becomes revived. All right, any questions? Yes.
And also when we're hearing on Monday night our position of helplessness that we should understand.
Yes.
So how do we take control while always remembering that we're not in control?
You're helpless to seize control of your life on your own, but by taking the lifeline given by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, you can do it. So you're helpless on your own, but if you grab a hold of the lifeline, then you're also grabbing control of your life. So the more you avidly chant Hare Krishna, the more you have taken control of your life from Kali Yuga. Of course, the ability to do that is given by Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, otherwise it's impossible. But they want to give it. They're offering, we're not taking. Yes, we are helpless, but the lifeline is being offered. Become an avid chanter of the holy name in japa and kirtan, and your life will be removed from the influence of the three modes of material nature. The service and the chanting feed into each other like an endless loop. The better you chant, the better your service is. The better your service is, the better you'll chant. So you should always see that endless loop happening in your life. If it's not, it means you're not doing something right. Sometimes devotees concoct, I'll just do service and I won't chant. I'll just chant and I won't do service. No, you have to watch in your life for that endless loop. The chanting feeding into the service. The service feeding into the chanting. Round and round and round it goes. Eternally. That should be your life. That is Lord Chaitanya's verse. So watch for that endless movement happening in your life. And the more you are aware of the value of that endless loop, the more you'll seek to protect it. It'll even undergo some inconveniences just so you can have that endless loop. People undergo so many inconveniences to achieve material goals. What's wrong with undergoing inconveniences to achieve the endless loop of the chanting feeding into the service and the service feeding into the chanting? Those of you who have careers in the material world for the sake of supporting your families, there's no inconveniences in that? Yeah, there's no inconveniences at the workplace? Studying at the university, there's no inconveniences. So, why can't we undergo inconveniences in serving Krishna? Oh, but that's different. When you're serving Krishna, everything should just flow the way you want it to flow. There shouldn't be any impediments. Why? You're practicing Krishna consciousness in the material world. It's a contradictory situation. So there'll be impediments, but Krishna gives you the means to cross over those impediments. And later you realize that the impediments are actually motivating you to increase your spiritual strength. In the advanced stages of bhakti, maya, illusion, becomes maya as mercy. The impediments thrown up by maya push you back to Godhead quicker. Why do you have to control your material mind so much?
Like when chanting.
Because Krishna's name is so attractive. Our goal is to be spontaneously attracted to Krishna's name and glories. What does Rupa Goswami pray? I know that young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys. But I'm praying to you, Krishna, that my mind may be attracted to you in the same spontaneous way. Material life means, artificially, you're unattracted to Krishna, you're attracted to the illusory energy. We want to cure ourselves of that disease. So what if it takes all your life to control your mind? Is there something wrong with that? What else are you going to do in your life? You have some better career plans in controlling your mind and senses? Controlling the mind and senses is for the purpose of focusing on Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. Why shouldn't we work to train our minds to focus on the reservoir of pleasure? Of course, the material energy is always trying to distract you. Think about this, think about that. It's a contamination. You can make progress in dealing with that contamination just by always being quick to take any opportunity to hear and glorify Krishna. Seize the opportunity. Just like you know, in age of Kali life, you're a young person especially, you hear there's a party somewhere. Immediately, let's go. Right? Remember that feeling? Some big event, some big concert or something. Let's go, let's go. It's kind of an electric feeling in the air. Some of you can remember that? Some big band from overseas is making a tour. Right? You get this. Right? You remember? Still gotta be there. I can remember. I was going to school on the east coast of the USA, and then family was living in the middle of the USA, you know, half a plane ride away or 13-hour drive away. So anyway, I went home for Christmas. 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. But then, a few days before New Year's, my friends called me up from East Coast because they were from California. They couldn't go. They didn't have enough money to go all the way back to fly out to California for Christmas. So they were staying, you know, at the university during Christmas holidays. So they called me up. Guess what? So and so is performing a special midnight concert on New Year's Eve. You've got to be there. I'm in the middle of the USA, and so-and-so is making a special midnight concert on New Year's Eve. Had to do something. This is incredible. I mean, from the material point of view, I mean, I just couldn't miss this. Even now, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but this concert is still famous, even now. You know, all these years, 40 years later. The children of my brothers, you know, they came up to me, you know, we heard that you were at this concert. How Maya perpetuates itself. You were there, really? Tell us what it was like. Because it's been recorded. So, here I was, like a 13-hour drive at least, probably a 15-hour drive away. In other words, far away from this, you know, the greatest event of the entire yuga. Friends, oh, we're gonna be there. You gotta be there. So I had to think quick. It was December 27th. Usually, I would stay at home until January, like 10th, and then fly back to the university. So I went to my mother. I said, Mother, you know, I'm just really concerned this year that I'm a bit behind in my studies. I think that if I, you know, I went back to university earlier, then I would really be prepared for my examinations, you know, which are coming in the middle of January. We love to have you here, dear, but we want you to do well in school. We're all so proud of you. You're a Yale student. We're so proud of you. We're so happy that you're taking your studies seriously. That means more to us, even. We'll sacrifice your not being here so you can go for your studies. So immediately I got a plane ticket. I flew to New York City, went from the airport straight to the concert arena, had no tickets. The temperature, it was equivalent to here in centigrade. It was well below zero in centigrade. You know? It was, that time of year in New York City. So they didn't mind. I stood outside the concert hall, you know, looking for someone who's selling tickets because the concert was sold out immediately. So looking for the persons who, you know, what do they call them?
Scalpers.
Yeah. Looking for the scalpers, you know. So that feeling, I have to be there. You'll go through such sacrifices. Now what? In spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness, we are like that about hearing about Krishna. Where is the kirtan? Where is the recitation of Krishna's glory? It's got to be there. Can't miss it. I'll go through austerities. I'll drive from my home through a bit of traffic. I'll lose a bit of sleep. Something. I just got to be there. When you feel that way, then you know you're advancing in spiritual life. Not that, I got to chant. And yes, I have to go to kirtan and dance. Otherwise, they think you're in Maya. And then you sit down, you hear Bhagavatam class. No, we should have eagerness. And that eagerness will take us a long way in Krishna consciousness. You try it. Got to be there. Can't miss it. As once you start getting older in Krishna consciousness, I mean above 50, your lamentation is, I don't have all the physical energy I used to for going to all the programs. Not that you, well, now I don't have to go. No, you actually feel sad. So when you start feeling in this way, you know that your spiritual heart is starting to become healthy.